I'm Dave Oliphant, and I was a student at UT, but at the time of the tragedy, I was not here. I was actually in Chile. And I was not here, so I did not experience firsthand the tragedy. But it has had an impact on me through fellow writers who did witness the event, and also through my relationship with Fred Ekman over the years. In 1960, my first semester here at UT, I had a course from a professor in the English department named Frederick Ekman. And ironically, it was a course on Walt Whitman. And Fred's only son, Tom Ekman, was one of the people killed by the Whitman shootings. The impact on Fred Ekman was lifelong. John Earsville talks about Fred Ekman's attempt to deal with this. And one way was a poem that he wrote to his mother in heaven. That is, Fred Ekman's own mother, who had died before the grandson. As John Earsville says, it's not with any anger that he wrote this poem, although he mentions the son being murdered. It's an attempt to, and he quotes Robert Frost, that poetry is a stay against confusion, and that this was his way of dealing with the loss of his son. And he said that throughout his life, he kept a photograph of his son always in front of him. And he calls the boy a bright flower in the poem, and then asks his mother, Helen, pray for us in the hour. Let's see, how does it go? It's from the Catholic liturgy, I think. Now and at the hour. Pray for us, Helen, now and at the hour. It rhymes with bright flower. Let the guns ring birth, not death. I'll add my somber voice. Your only grandson's murdered, that bright flower. Pray for us, Helen, now and at the hour. The thing about Fred Ekman was he was such a wonderful, generous teacher. He changed my life. And I was in touch with him a number of times in later years. And he wrote to me one time, and he sent me a book, and he wrote an inscription in it, and it said, to Dave Oliphant, still fighting the good fight in darkest Austin. He never, in a way, got over the tragedy, and I don't think he could ever think about Austin in any other way but dark, which I can totally understand. Well, I don't think any time I passed the tower, I didn't think about it. I don't think that anyone could fail to do that. Had to leave it to learn its truth, or stopped by Charlie's deadly aim. In a close-up of such a tragic scene, the bloody part Fred Ekman's son acted in a play of Greek invention, when here the mortal flesh and bone brought home its distant meaning. Another poem that I read years later was by Pat Stodgehill, which is in an anthology called Texas in Poetry 2, and she talks about, at that time, people are sweating in Austin. And then she refers to Whitman, self-appointed, the executioner waits, perched 30 stories high in blazing blue, Below, the town, the lake, the red roof tiles all seem a peaceful postcard on a sunny day. As you can see, I've written on many occasions about that experience, even though I wasn't here, but I have felt it in my bones through other writers that I knew personally.